a complete breakdown of University of Tennessee athletics from former UT coach Doug Matthews. This is Big Orange Sunday, presented by Delta Dental, online at deltadentaltn.com.
Well, welcome into Big Orange Sunday. As you heard, we are brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Vols losing Auburn 73-66 yesterday. Billy the Legend, Bill Justice, will join us after the church segment. And Bill, he'll give us the skinny. Tennessee now 15-12 overall, 7-6 in the Southeastern Conference. Arkansas in Fayetteville Wednesday night, and the Gators come to Thompson Bowling Saturday for a big ball game up in Knoxville. One thing before I get going to the show, I've never said this before. I think I've been doing this show 28 years in some form or fashion now. Now, about the first five or six of those years have all just during football. But swimming and dive team for the University of Tennessee, the women's swimming and diving team, pardon me, first SEC championship ever. Congratulations. I know this for a fact. I've never mentioned any swimming and diving on this show before, but what a great accomplishment. First one ever at the University of Tennessee. Well, we got a lot to cover today. Coach Jeremy Pruitt announces two new coaches. I should say officially announces two new coaches. I guess we've known this for a couple of weeks. Anyway, we'll talk about that, plus a couple of other staff moves. The athletic director, Philip Fulmer, holding ticket prices overall and lowering some season tickets, not requiring any type of donation. I'll tell you why on that. That's one thing that Coach Fulmer was really looking to do, to get younger people, and I'm talking about much younger, not even driving yet, to games like he and other Tennesseans did, to learn about this the great history of this game and to be able to become Vol fans in the future. I'll hit that for just a second. That's very rare in today's football, by the way. I'm going to take a look starting today at two positions each Sunday going into spring practice. I'll take one on offense and one on defense going into spring ball and really dig into who's there. This is just purely for spring ball. We're not talking about fall, but spring ball, who's going to be there. Today I'll start with linebackers on defense, those three positions, and quarterback on offense, kind of the who's, the whys, and the potential that we'll have there. However, we're going to start this 25-minute church segment with something special. As you all know, I started doing the church segment a couple of years ago. I had a lot of buddies, a lot of friends, who said, hey, Doug, you know, we go to church, so anything you're going to say that's important, try to get it in that first part of the show. Got me thinking. So for 25 minutes here, we'll be doing the church segment as we always do. It's when I really try to get in the, well, hopefully everything is important, but the more important stuff to get out there. And that's why I wanted to start with something today. There's a secret out there that not too many people know. I can't tell you the number of people who walked up to me the last couple of months and said, hey, man, I didn't know anything about this podcast, The Host of Volunteers. And I've had many others, more, probably 10 times more, didn't know anything at all about it. So here's what I'm going to start doing. Barry Rice joins me today. We're going to talk about A Host of Volunteers. If you are a Vol fan of any age, I don't care if you're the oldest Vol fan ever. I had about 15 years ago a get-together at my house here in Brentwood, where Coach Fulmer came over. He was still the head coach at that point. And we invited every football letterman anywhere near the that could get here from Middle Tennessee, without going into a lot of things on that. Had one guy who played for General Lee in 1936, whose son had to drive him up here. But I don't care what area you're from. If you're not listening to A Host of Volunteers, you are missing out either on a remembrance or maybe on some of these you weren't even around at that time. This is great stuff. Barry Rice, Ben Bates, heavy emphasis on the Barry Rice part of it, in my opinion, has got this thing going, and Barry Rice joins us today. Barry, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your, I know, busy schedule up in Knoxville. Athletic director working your fingers to the bone, I'm sure.
No doubt. But thank you. Thank you for having me, and I'm honored to be on the church segment. Goodness gracious.
Well, let's get right to it. Folks, we're going to kind of get into just some of the things. Seven podcasts are out now. Barry was on with us once before. Here's what I'm going to start doing, because there's not enough info out about this. Every time Barry and Ben put one of these things together, they've done seven so far. When they're going to come out, has agreed to come on the show and talk about it a little bit. We had him on the Jeff Powell call in the 1985 Sugar Bowl. Just quickly, give us just a little bit about what you've done so far, what the future is going to look like. And folks, let me, and I'm going to kind of lead Barry into this. If you haven't listened to one of these podcasts, they're absolutely phenomenal. What they essentially do is, Barry will explain it a lot more than me, they take the John Ward calls of the game, mix it in with interviews with coaches and players who were involved in it, and it is just a fascinating look back at Tennessee history. So, Barry, the floor is yours. Kind of lead us into this, and then we'll talk about the latest one you got coming out.
Well, absolutely, Coach. And again, thank you. And you know, for the people that have already listened to some of the shows, I mean, they've been wonderful opportunities for me, and I hope for the fans, to dig up those great John Ward calls and Bill Anderson calls and replay them for the first time in 40 and 50 years. I mean, people, you know, for the most part, those games were called by the Vol Network staff, recorded that day, and put on a shelf. And, you know, if you were listening live, of course you heard it. But for the most part, other than the really famous place, no one has heard these calls in many, many, many years. And, you know, I thought that was just a shame, being such a fan of all things John Ward. And so we wanted to create a show that would spotlight those wonderful moments and forgotten moments. And so it occurred to us that if we would start culling all of that archival material and then go speak to an interview and record the letterman associated with a particular story, you know, that we'd have something pretty compelling to listen to even all these years later. And so far, as far as I'm concerned, that's proven true. You know, I'm a fan of the show. You know, I just happen to have my fingers on the controls at the same time. But to hear these guys tell these stories that, you know, look, as you mentioned before, I've been over there for 30 years now. And I guess maybe I thought I knew everything. You sit down with these guys and get them talking, and you realize, my God, I did not know, you know, anything about what was going on. And it's just great to be able to tell these stories and get their memories. And, you know, one of my fondest memories, Gary Wyant is a coach that I dearly love, worked for him. He was my supervisor for many of those years. And now he's retired. And I sat down with him, and he starts telling me this wonderful story about kicking Bobby Majors off of the team the week of his greatest game ever, the 71 Penn State game. And, I mean, if bells don't start ringing and going off and thinking, my goodness, that's the story right there. And so we built a whole show around how Bobby Majors was technically not on the team the week of the game. And that kind of stuff would just not be known to average fans like me if not for this podcast. And so, you know, that's sort of what we're going for with every one of the shows down the line.
A host of volunteers. All you got to do is Google it. Comes up. That's the name of the podcast. There's seven of them out there. I think your first couple, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the past ones. They can kind of look at those. I want to talk about the one that you just dropped here recently. First two were what? A two-part series, When Johnny Comes Marching Home, 1977, right?
Correct. And that was fantastic. You know, started out as a one-parter. Then it just got, there was so much. It became a two-parter. But amazing, amazing stories and calls and moments and recollections. And as you know, Coach Majors was part of that show, and so it had to be a two-parter because once he started talking, you know. But, yeah, that was a great show, the 77th one we just loved. And as you mentioned, we did the show on Jeff Powell, specifically Roaring Down the Greensward. You know, but And that's what I love about this show also, if I could mention. We did a show on Jeff Powell's run in the 1985 Sugar Bowl. That doesn't mean that's the last show we'll ever do about the 1985 Sugar Bowl. We just told the story of that run in the 1985 Sugar Bowl. There are probably 100 other stories of that night or that season that we still can tell and hopefully will tell before this is all said and done.
Barry, what are you bringing out? Maybe it's already out, but or what's the latest that you have done?
Well, the one that we have just finished is called 88 and Out the Gate. And for anybody that remembers Coach Majors, he had many, many expressions. And 88 Out the Gate was one of them. I still don't know what it meant, but I know he said it a lot. And so we started doing a show. Well, I'll tell more about this, but we did a show on the 1988 season, so it just seemed appropriate to title it 88 Out the Gate.
Well, you take a unique look at the 88 season. The 1988 season, Tennessee ended up 5-6. 5 wins, 6 losses. Started out the season 0-6. Kind of lead us into that, Barry. A lot of people talk about the 0-6 start, but what you talk about is the 5-0 finish and then what that led to for the next decade or so.
Oh, absolutely. And as you well know, because I think you were the first interview I did, I showed up in Middle Tennessee knocking on your door asking if you could throw in some comments about the 1989 season, wanted to celebrate the championship. Well, the more we got to talking, the more I realized, well, we're going to have to spend 5 minutes, you know, setting it up with the 88 season. Well, that turned into, no, we need to tell this entire story of the whole season. And yeah, you mentioned it. When I would say, hey, let's talk about the 88 season, people would instantly, and I'm talking about even the Letterman, oh, the 0-6 start. Oh, the 0-6 start. And I thought, what a horrible way to brand the guys from that year. Let's remember, yes, it was an 0-6 start. Those guys finished 5-0. And that led to an 11-1 season. And that led to a 9-2-1 season. So they were the starting point of what we refer to as the decade of dominance. But believe me, 89 would not have happened, 90 would not have happened, if it wasn't for what those guys in 88 did. And what they did was they reached down and they decided losing sucks and it's time to get it going. And they did it. It's really a great, great story.
By the way, just real quickly, Coach Majors, 88 and Out the Gate. Also, it was 88 Kazoos. He used that quite often. And it's an old football term that was back in the Neyland era and when his dad was coaching him. And even out at Arkansas when he was an assistant coach out there. And I never knew. I probably heard him say it 1,000 times in the meetings. And I never did it. Don't know exactly what he meant, but I sure was nodding my head like I knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I didn't even know what a Kazoos was, to be honest with you. But anyway, well, Barry, leave us with a final thought here. By the way, you're going to start coming on. I guess I announced this, so you're going to have to do it now. Every time drops, you're going to come on Sunday, and you can get this at a host of volunteers.com. Is there any other way? Not .com, excuse me, a host of volunteers. Just Google it. It'll take you to the podcast. Anything else the fans need to know to hear this?
Just know that we have literally an entire legal path of titles and shows and things sketched. The stories will never end, and we're going to tell as many of them as we possibly can.
Well, I cannot highlight this enough. Barry Rice has been, I'll tell you how far he goes back. He was the film guy, or the yep. film guy, and then was there, I'll never forget the first time we ever did the tape at a practice. And Barry was not shaving at that point. He now has a little gray beard. But bottom line, this is, folks, again, I'm taking 15 valuable minutes here on the church thing. This is great stuff. And the point I wanted to make was if you're a new, 15, 16, 18, 7, 25, 30, or if you're 90, this will either bring back memories or introduce you to some of the really great plays, great situations, great games. And as importantly, great calls by John Ward. Anybody that knows John Ward, whether you knew him, whether you ever met him, you knew him because you heard it on radio. One thing that Barry was talking about is go back to the Penn State games, one of those games in there, the Bobby Majors deal. Those games, you know, you were only on TV once a year back then.
So
how do we remember it? We remember it by John Ward and Bill Anderson. And we remember it because Barry Rice is bringing this to you. I can't tell you how proud I am for you, bud, but Barry has access to every tape. I asked him, I played in the 1969, 50 years ago now, Tennessee Vandy game in Knoxville when the turf turned black. We'll talk about that one of these days. The new tartan turf that had been out of here actually turned, I mean, as black as asphalt. And I said, Barry, you reckon you could get me the tape of that? Downloaded it, sent it to me that day. I thought I was a little bit better in that ball game. Anyway, great times, and we'll be talking about it. Yeah, leave us with a final thought here.
Well, I mean, it's funny. All these years, I thought the film had a problem on that black turf. And again, what you learn from speaking to the people that were there, now I know the turf was black. The film did not have a chemical problem. So thank you for that, Coach.
Two things on that real quickly. I'll just hit that game. I can't go into the whole details now, but I will do it with Barry at a later date.
Yeah.
That was the game that the year after that was 69, it was either 70 or 71, where the Southeastern Conference changed the rules of a game where the home team had to wear dark and the visiting team had to wear light unless they agreed to switch that around for Florida primarily at that time. The reason was because the year before in Nashville, when Doug Dickey brought his team in to play Bill Pace and my junior year here, Tennessee, Vandy was wearing some new gold jerseys, and Tennessee was supposed to bring white. They did not. They brought orange, and so we played the game in orange, and they were close enough that, you know, you had to look real close. So the next year, Bill Pay says, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We wore gold jerseys up there on the orange. It didn't help us knee the ball game, I don't think. But bottom line was the next year, year after that, Southeastern Conference went to the white at home, color jerseys at home and white on the road. I want to see us go back to those games. It's not now with TV and the difference. I want to go back where you had the crimson of Alabama and the orange of Tennessee.
Absolutely.
I hope we can get back there. Probably can't, but there's other things more important. But anyway, Barry, I've kept you about 15 more minutes than I wanted to. Thanks so much, my friend, and we're looking forward to this. And folks, seven of them are out there. It's great stuff. Barry does a great job. Ben, I don't know Ben, but he does a fine job too. And again, when a new one comes out, let me know and we'll have you on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach.
Talk to you. Again, Barry Rice, Barry with a host of volunteers. All right, we got about 7 minutes here left. Let me just get into some things here. Position breakdown for spring. I'm going to start doing one on offense and one on defense. Going to start today. And again, this is just for spring practice. So if you don't hear one of the incoming freshmen, it's because they're not there yet. All right, we're talking about spring practice here. Quarterback, linebacker. Let's start with the quarterback position. Six quarterbacks on this team. There will be six next year, scholarship players. At least five of them are scholarship. I'm not sure about the other one here. But anyway, there's six of them out there for spring. Garantano, Maurer, Shrout, Hill, and then two early enrollees, Bailey and Holiday. Now, let's just talk about this position right now, what we're going to see in spring. That's a lot of quarterbacks. My strong suspicion is this as we look at spring. This is the one position that everybody's talking about because I think most of us feel, whether you're a somebody that really watches it deeply or follows it a little bit or follows it closely. The quarterback position, if we get good quarterback play, if Tennessee gets good quarterback play next fall, this team has a chance to be a really good football team. If they don't, they're going to be a good football team anyway. If they don't, well, we're probably just going to be so-so, you know, a little above average. But they got some opportunities there. Not going to talk a whole lot about Garantano. He's a redshirt senior. We know about him. My strong suspicion is this spring that what Jim Chaney will do here, they know what Garantano can do. Yes, he's going to do the drills. He'll probably get a little bit playing time. But in scrimmages, in the 7-on-7 type drills, and anything that is a competitive drill, you got to believe that those other quarterbacks are going to get a look. Now, who is in the running on this thing? I'm just going to give you my opinion on this. Maurer, outside, again, we're sitting Garantano over here on the side, all right? I do believe Garantano, unless he will be the starting quarterback, I would think, next fall, unless one of these young guys just have a blowout spring. Maurer has shown the best, in my opinion, a potential. He's got a strong arm. He can move around. He was highly recruited by Coach Jeremy Pruitt. He's someone that Coach Pruitt believed and felt like could be a really good quarterback at Tennessee and in this league. So we've seen what he can do. He was inconsistent. He was also a true freshman. Shrout, a redshirt, who will be in the class I'm talking about is what they're going to be next year, will be a redshirt sophomore. He was that came in with that first class with Coach Pruitt. From just watching him, I don't think he is as talented. I don't think he has as much feel. I don't think he has some of the abilities of Maurer. But you know what? We've had a lot of quarterbacks win a lot of ball games up there that weren't outstanding in several areas. So those two guys are going to get a look. And then Harrison Bailey, freshman coming in. I got to believe. Here's what I know, and I've been told by several different people. When Coach Pruitt and this staff took the job at Tennessee, they Marietta, Georgia, the most of them had recruited the Georgia area. Harrison Bailey was the guy that they pigeonholed, that they targeted, said, this is the guy that we want to get in here. He was only, maybe a sophomore at that point. But bottom line is this. This is the guy that they felt like, from recruiting, could be the guy that could lead this team into the championship contention in the Southeastern Conference. Not that others couldn't, but certainly him. They put all their marbles on this guy. He is big. He's strong. He's extremely smart. He's an excellent, excellent football player in high school, and he's going to get a good look. All right. The other part of that is Jimmy Holiday is in. He is a runner, if you've seen him play. My guess is he reminds me of other quarterbacks we've taken in the past that can play multiple positions. Will he get a good look at quarterback? Yes. Is he going to end up a quarterback next fall? My guess is no, although he will play that position. But he is a skilled player who has tremendous speed, excellent running ability, strength, good running, power running. You've heard me talk about him since day one. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a big-time football player at Tennessee eventually. So as you look at that quarterback position, again, Garantano, they know what he can do. Got to find out what Bailey can do. They have a pretty good idea what Maurer can do and Shrout can do. You got Hill in there too. I'm not exactly sure where he ranks in this. And then, of course, Holiday, I think they're just going to fulfill with him. Hey, they're going to give you an opportunity. They've told him, we're going to give you an opportunity at quarterback first, give you a great opportunity. He'll probably spend all spring there. And then we'll talk about maybe moving around if you can't, if that's not workable on that. But Bailey, as I look at it, Bailey, Maurer, Bailey in some order. If somebody else jumps up to the front of the line, we'll be talking about it this spring. All right, got a couple of minutes here left. So outside linebacker, I went a little bit long with Barry Rice, but let's just look at linebacker, the two linebacker positions. Again, this is a three position, not four linebackers like we talk about sometimes. There's an outside linebacker who's a rush guy and a couple of inside linebackers. Inside, you got To'o To'o, Peterson, Beasley. They're all sophomores. Peterson's a redshirt sophomore. Outside, you got Bennett, who I think at the end of the year was playing exceptionally well. If you go back and look at his stats those last three or four ball games, he can run, he can fly, he can move. He can't fly. He can run real well. Big hitter. You got Crouch and you got Harrison, two sophomores there. Now, as you've heard Coach Pruitt talk about, the 4x4 linebackers, what's he talking about there? They can play all four positions. Well, in this instance, they can play all three positions because we're going to be playing a nickel or what they call a star back up there. So if you look at that linebacker position, you got five sophomores there. And again, we're talking there for spring. We got a couple of others coming in. and you got a redshirt junior. So the top six players there, yes, there's a couple of other people in there. I don't think they're a little older. I don't think they – I think they've been over-recruited, quite frankly. But you got six players there that are one junior and five sophomores in spring. This has an opportunity to be an excellent linebacking core. They all can run. They all can hit you. And for the most part, they have high football IQs. Don't know about all of them. But certainly To'o and has a Harrison, I believe, and certainly Bennett have high football IQs. All right. Didn't get as much as I wanted to get in there, but I did want to talk to Barry Rice. And I'll be getting into a little bit more of the position breakdown a little bit later. Bill Justice will join us when we come back. Let me talk to you as we go to break about Double Dogs. DoubleDogs.biz, that's the website. This is a family-oriented sports bar, and I've talked to so many people who have stopped by, who are regulars down there, that absolutely love it. The food is outstanding. They got 30-plus TVs, you can't turn any. I guess they don't have any on the ceiling, but you can't look in any direction and not see, well, any sporting event that you want to watch, you can get them to change it to it, one of them. They got great salads, burgers, sandwiches, pizza. You've heard me talk about the five different signature mac and cheese dishes, the hot dog dishes, the milkshakes, the appetizers. They got it all, and it's family-oriented. 5 to 105, 4 to 104, anywhere in between. Two locations, Hillsborough Village here in the two locations in Middle Tennessee, Hillsborough Village and the one out on Charlotte Pike. There are other locations, and they're throughout the South, including Knoxville and Bowling Green. DoubleDogs.biz, you can find out all about them.
Looking for a wow experience in upscale dining? Welcome to Stony River Steakhouse and Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made-from-scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
Improve your home or business and save big at Stover's Liquidation. Super thick 12-millimeter laminate, tons of styles in stock for only 79 cents per square foot. Luxury vinyl plank flooring, gigantic selection starting at just 49 cents per square foot. Hardwood flooring, Stover's Liquidation has it, huge quantities starting at just 99 cents per square foot. Save on appliances, cabinets, HVAC units, and all kinds of products you use every day. Stover's Liquidation, Antioch, Cookeville, and Oak Ridge. Shop online anytime at stoversliquidation.com. Stover's.
At Wilson Bank and Trust, our game plan in the community includes supporting our local schools on the gridiron and in the classroom. When it comes to buying or improving your home, we can help your family with those game plans too. From personal loans to mortgages, our lending experts are with you every step of the way. Let us help you get your financial game plan together at wilsonbank.com or any of our 28 Middle Tennessee locations. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy, President.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy, President, Forklift Systems. Thanks for another incredible year. Business is booming, and we seek exceptional people in Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. Recent customer feedback said, "It's refreshing to deal with a company of integrity with people you trust. It brightens my day when I call your office. Your response is fast. You're easy to do business with." If that sounds like you, email me your resume to careers@forkliftsystems.com.
I'm Hunter Thrasher at Tressler & Associates, PLLC. I believe in providing top-notch legal service to my clients by blending old-school customer service and attention to detail with the most up-to-date ideas and technology. My goal as your attorney is to turn a one-off transactional relationship into a trusted, all-encompassing partnership and general counsel role. My firm's motto is securing your peace of mind. To contact me, you can reach me at TresslerAssociates.com. That's TresslerAssociates.com.
We've got something huge for you. The Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Every morning beginning at 10 on 104.5 The Zone. Now, Big Horn Sunday continues with a complete breakdown of Vols basketball from Bill Justice. Presented by Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
Billy the Legend, join us. We're talking ball basketball. And Bill, almost.
Well, very, very disappointing, Doug, in a lot of ways. I think the results of this, a chance to beat a ranked team on the road. Are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay, I couldn't tell if you're still there. The chance to beat a ranked team on the road and a great opportunity, I think, to probably firmly insert Tennessee on the list of NCAA tourney brackets. And now, as we go forward, a very tough finish at Arkansas, a tough Florida team in Lexington to play Kentucky, and then Saturday, March 7, write this one down, the rematch with Auburn in Knoxville. I would expect that would be a rowdy crowd and a very, very motivated Tennessee basketball team.
Well, you just go back and look, and of course, Tennessee fans, I hear from them a bunch on this. The one, for as good as Tennessee's been, boy, Auburn has been a thorn in the sides ever since, ever since probably the coaching change has been made up there. Quite a couple of opportunities a year or so ago for championships that Auburn knocked about of. Here's the question, Bill. You know, and I'm looking at this purely through the eyes of a football coach, but I remember several times, and I know this isn't an easy, maybe it's a question that can't be answered. You know, some of the teams that we were playing that we were having a difficult time with, where you just have to kind of change what you're doing. And I don't know if it's a pattern or what. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. But for as good as Tennessee has been, the one thing that they've had a lot of trouble with is Auburn in tough situations. I don't know if it's style of ball or what, but yesterday was a great example of this. 17 points up, led for 29 minutes of the ball game, and then just kind of fell apart once they got that lead.
Doug, I'll tell you one of the things I think figures in very strongly, and that is Coach Bruce Pearl. Not only is he an outstanding coach, I think that for him, the preparation for his team every time they go in to a Tennessee game is more intense. I think that is a game that he has circled every year, having been there and having great success there, but you know, maybe not leaving on his best terms, and I think probably he is very motivated to get his team up for Tennessee.
24 turnovers versus 11. That's plus 13. If you're shooting at 50%, that alone right there is about, what, 13, 14-point different right there.
Yeah, Doug, let me tell you something else, too. If you do the logistics on this, that you have to look at turnovers in two ways. You have to count as well as the points that the other team gets off of that turnover. You've got to count the points that you didn't get. When you give up the ball, you give up a chance to score, and you give them a chance to score at the other end. If you take it to the extreme, that can mean 4 or 5 points, depending on, you know, whether it's a three-pointer or a two-pointer. So you have to account for the points you didn't get as well as the ones the other team did get. I don't know that I've ever had a number that high for a Tennessee team. I mean, it was not one player. It was, you know, the guards are not taking good care of the basketball. We've had that trouble all year long. But Tennessee went from a team that looked like a certain NCAA team in the first you know, 30 minutes to a team that couldn't complete a pass. I mean, it was a total breakdown.
You know, that's a very interesting insight by you, and I'm probably other people agree saying the same thing. I never thought of it that way. You think about the points that the other team gets. If you know, you just, that's pretty easy to figure out. Whatever their shooting percentage is, the time number of turnovers differential. But it's also the points that you do not get on that.
Throughout history, I mean, Tennessee's coaches have always stressed this, and it's been, you know, now with the speed up in play, and that's been in there for years, sometimes the turnovers come. We see this. I see this way too often where a guy's still out there bumping the ball and the clock's down at 5 or 6 seconds. I'd rather somebody to launch one up there with 15 seconds left that's a semi-good shot than I would to have somebody throw up a hope shot with 2 seconds left. That's one of the problems that we have. You know, people kind of wind that clock down too far instead of going ahead and play. Auburn does not play that way. Kentucky does not play that way. If they have a shot, they're going to take it to the basket early. It's a much more up-tempo game. So, yeah, I think the problem of taking responsibility for the points you don't get is something certainly has to be factored into the impact that turnovers have.
I think a lot of people maybe look at this the way I do that aren't, you know, purist basketball purists, and I certainly am not. But, you know, you kind of think, or I kind of thought, hey, at some point, Jordan Bowden's going to get rolling, and when he does, this team is going to be a team that to contend with. Well, Bowden's going now. Great game yesterday. Maybe his best game in 2 years. But as he is going, boy, everybody else seems to be going back. Bowden, 28 points yesterday, 7 for 7 for 3 point, 3 of 4 from the 3 point line. As I mentioned, 28 points overall, and yet Tennessee, doesn't play well in many other areas.
Yeah. The turnovers were accounted for, I think 24, 27 points. And that doesn't count again, what you didn't get. So, that makes up the entire thing. I remember I was watching, kind of flipping back and forth, and the channel that I went to watch, I think Kentucky or somebody else play, was talking and just came on the mic and said, and Tennessee is pulling away from Auburn very fast. And I turned back over, you know, we're up 18 or something like that. And I thought, well, this is a terrific, terrific showing to go on the road and play like this. And then it just, you know, when it started going downhill, it was almost like Tennessee could not stop it. There was no way to gain back momentum. They took the lead back briefly, but after you've given up that much of a lead, that's what Coach Barnes was talking about. He said, that's where we're not tough. He said, we are too weak when it gets into that situation and things are not going our way. We don't strengthen ourselves and come back and say, okay, let's go. We can do this, and they don't.
Fulkerson's been by far the most consistent player on this team. What did Auburn do yesterday to more than slow him down? Why did he have six total points?
Yeah, well, he had a couple of fouls early too. You know, yeah. he had to leave.
He only took six shots.
Yeah, and I think that when that happens, you know, you're a guy that has been kind of their go-to guy. If right now he would be their best player, I think, and if their most improved player. But you know, took him out of the game early, so his momentum's gone. He comes back in. The offense is doing great. They're getting production from certainly from Bowden and from other players, so they just didn't go to him.
We will we'll talk with Bill about that. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk with Bill about that, and get into some of the other things in yesterday's ballgame. Also kind of look to the future. As we go to break, let me talk to you about American Home Design. They have their winter sale still going on right now. $500 to $1,500 on all of their products. Anything that they have, you can save from $500 to $1,500 on that. That includes, well, any of the products that they have, replacement windows, entry and patio doors, all types of other things for your house, showers, anything that you need to refurbish your house. Just take me, for instance. I built my home when I moved back over here in 30 years ago. You start needing a few things done. I've had my windows all replaced, my patio and entry doors all replaced by American Home Design, and I can tell you, from working with these folks, they are exceptional in what they do. They have their famous, as long as you own your home, any work that they've done is 100% guaranteed by American Home Design. So stop by and see them. They got everything in that showroom up in Goodlettsville, 880 Conference Drive up there. You can also go to their website at AmericanHomeDesign.com or call them, talk to them, 615-361-6100. That's American Home Design.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Luna Custom Homes is now building in the Grove. If you're contemplating building in the Grove, my buddy Jay Luna would love the opportunity to meet and talk with you. Jay believes in the Grove. In fact, he has made the Grove the primary location for Luna Custom Homes. In addition to the Grove, if you're looking for something closer to downtown Franklin, well, the Arlington on West Main is just the ticket. 10 one-level residencies just two blocks from Starbucks. The Grove and the Arlington, all from Luna Custom Homes. 50 years building top-quality homes in Williamson County.
Sports fans, this is Lucy Bytorf with Frederick and Clark Realty. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Middle Tennessee area, you need an experienced agent. For over two decades, I have worked with people just like you, helping navigate both buyers and sellers in this aggressive market. New neighborhoods are springing up all over. Traffic concerns are so important. That's where my experience can help. Contact Lucy Bytorf of Frederick and Clark Realty at iSellNashvilleRealEstate.com.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
Did you know Medicare has a co-insurance and deductibles and doesn't cover prescription drugs?
And traditional Medicare doesn't provide dental or vision coverage.
Well, that's why I have my Medicare supplement and Part D plan through Farm Bureau Health Plans.
And why I bought their Dental Vision Silver plan.
Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans since 1947.
And because they're right here in Columbia, Tennessee, you've definitely got the home field advantage.
Farm Bureau Health has you covered at fbhealthplans.com.
Want more? More content from 104.5 The Zone? Head to our website and click on the podcast page for original podcast, on-demand audio, and your favorite shows. Get the best from the Wake Up Zone, Midday 180, 3HL, and the Big Six. Plus, check out originals like Paul Kuharsky Elsewhere, Step One Learn Sports, The Pop Six, The Strike Zone, The Ultimate Tennessee Podcast, and more. Subscribe to our podcast feeds for Apple and Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify to have them download straight to your smartphone. Check it out now, 1045thezone.com/podcast. Big Orange Sunday continues, presented by Delta Dental, online at deltadentaltn.com.
Bill Justice with us. We're talking Vol basketball. Tennessee loses at Auburn yesterday. Bill, kind of walk us through this. Now, I know from the football end of it that I get questions sometimes when I was coaching. They wonder, well, why didn't you just do this? It looks so simple. Why didn't you just do that? And I find myself doing that in basketball again. I know little, if anything, about basketball at all. But you just watch. We've talked about Josiah Jordan James so much, and you look at a game like this and you look at the stat line and you see 30 minutes of playing time, only two shots taken, and he was 2 for 2, and you just, you know, it's easy to ask yourself, I know there's an answer, why don't we get the ball to a guy who is one of the best players coming out of high school in the country? What answer would you give when folks ask that?
You know, that's a great question. When you look at the players and what the results are having, generally speaking, you want to go to that guy that tonight has a hot hand. Tennessee has done a good job of that with Fulkerson, but last night they did not take advantage of 3J's size that he has in the backcourt and the fact that he seemed to be one of the guys who was, you know, focused in pretty good, and he just didn't get the ball in 30 minutes, and he only gets two shots. One of the things I think that's happened is he's kind of running as the point guard.
Yep.
And sometimes the point guard's job, his number one job, really is not to score. It's to get people in position where they shoot the ball best and get them the ball. And that results in the highest shooting percentages. If you have a real good point guard, not only is that point guard going to have a good assist-to-turnover ratio, but you're going to find that your shot makers get the ball where they're at their best. And so your field goal percentage goes up with a good point guard.
Well, and in along that line, one assist, six turnovers yesterday by 3J. So anyway, and again, it's very easy, and I've been on the other side of this, to say, why isn't a coach doing this? Why isn't a coach doing that? Rick Barnes is an outstanding coach, has to be reasons because of that. But all right, let's kind of talk, Bill, a little bit about what this team, they're setting at 50-50 in the 500 in the conference. You have talked so much about how important this tournament's going to be this year. It's always important, but more so this year in terms of getting teams. There's going to be a couple of teams probably get in the NCAA tournament because of what they do in the SEC tournament. So kind of going forward with this, kind of talk about what we've seen. Devontae Gaines yesterday played almost 20 minutes. Now, I'm sure some of that had to do with Fulkerson's foul trouble. But what are you kind of seeing with this team going forward now?
You know, I still look at the talent level and what they have depth-wise and think, you know, this is a good basketball team and they're going to get better. And player development is one of the things that Rick Barnes does better than anybody. And for some reason, it's just been a little stagnant with these guys. I don't think they have played up to what his mantra is, and that is find your level and play to that good level every day. Every practice, every shoot-around, every game, play to your top level of fineness every single day. This team has not been able to do that consistently, both as a team and individually. And the one thing that has hurt us all year long, and it was devastating yesterday, is the turnovers. And I point that back at really we don't have a true point guard at this point. You know, with Vescovi, he's a great catch and shoot guy. That's what I would like for him to be. I'd rather have him as an off guard, off ball guard, throw it to him and let him shoot it rather than handling the ball. So I think probably the turnover has been the thing that has kept us from reaching potential.
Well, you kind of watch this team, Bill, and they are not a good ball-handling team, are they? I mean, any of the five when you as a group out there, I mean, some of the turnovers are just, you know, just sloppy turnovers, to be frankly.
Yeah, what do they see? What did you see when you made that pass? And I heard Coach Barnes say that. You know, he said he described it in post-game as, our turnovers aren't just turnovers, they're silly turnovers. Yeah. And I had never heard it called that, but he said, our turnovers are silly turnovers.
Well, when you use the word pathetic a couple of times in your post game, that kind of tells you. He's probably talking about, you know, somebody asked me the other day, does he ever take any blame for anything? I said, absolutely he does. But he's explaining what he sees on that. Every coach knows this. What you see out there on the court, what you see on the field of play, this is the way coaches look at this, I can assure you. When they look at that tape of that game, what you see on that tape is what you're coaching, you know. And they're not coaching turnovers, but they are coaching turnovers because they allow to happen. So was always a great mantra and teaching lesson for me as a coach. Whatever my players are doing out on the field or out on the court in this instance, whether you like it or not, that's what you're teaching in some way or some shape of form on that. So,
well, and I'll be interested to see how they do this week against Arkansas, because the first time they played Arkansas, they played a great game. They had a, you know, double-digit win. But Arkansas is going to be a real small lineup. They're going to play a pressure man-to-man defense. They're going to force you into corners. They're going to double-team on-the-ball defense. They will force Tennessee to handle the ball in order to avoid having turnovers like they did there. They don't have anybody on the floor bigger than 6'7". They basically a lot of times are playing five guards. They're quick. They're going to keep the ball away from your shooters, and they're going to double-team when you get into that area of the floor where it's possible to do so.
Well, Bill, and the other part of that is 14 games into your conference schedule, everybody knows what their opponent can do and can't do, what they like to do and what they don't like to do. And you got to believe they're going to put a lot of pressure on the ball because of the turnover factor here.
And with that small, quick lineup, they're able to do that. You know, they won't have to play back off of the ball. They'll be able to overplay and get a hand in front of the closest receiver, and they'll be able to play tough on-ball defense. Tennessee's going to have to be ready to play on the road.
We'll take our last break when we come back. That's what we're going to talk with Bill about. Exactly what does Tennessee need to do? We're going to talk a little bit about Arkansas and then the rest of the way. What does Tennessee need to do from his viewpoint to get back on a winning track here? Again, a lot of games left to be played, a lot of wins potential out there, an SEC tournament that will be right here in Nashville. We'll talk with Bill about that when we come back. Mid-10 Ford. Listen, if you're a truck person, you probably are a Ford truck person. And if you are a Ford truck person, you are undoubtedly a mid-10 Ford truck person. Mid-10 Ford, well over half a century
of being in business here. The Boyd family has done a phenomenal job. I've been dealing with them for almost 30 years now. Driving a Ford Ranger truck, absolutely love it right now. But whether you need to look at an SUV, whether you need to look at a truck, small, F-150, heavy truck, if you need them worked on, if you need a collision center, if you need them painted, anything that you need to do with your automobile, or if you're looking for a particular truck or an SUV, as I mentioned, Mid-10 Ford can handle it. Excellent people, the Boyd family, there's a bunch of them still involved out there, own it, family-owned, family-operated for well over half a century. Mid10trucks.com. Check out their website. Stop by and see them on Foster Avenue. Again, if you have a collision, you need a parts done, they have over $1 million in parts at any one time. They can paint it. They can fix it. They can sell it. Anything you need at Mid10 Ford, and that's mid10trucks.com.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
A new car, truck, or SUV, and a new-to-you car, truck, or SUV. Walker Chevrolet has the selection to choose from. That Walker Chevrolet has been around for as long as they have has to do more with their attitude. That Walker Chevrolet isn't number one. Their customers are number one. Selection and service have made Walker Chevrolet the place to look for your next new or new-to-you vehicle. And know that Walker Chevrolet will do what it takes for you to have that car, truck, or SUV. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 at walkerchevrolet.com.
I don't know much about tires other than the fact that I need four of them to drive around. I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World, and when my car needs tires and alignment, an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35-plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World and look him up at tireworld.us.
Doug Matthews talks college football with Charles Davis every Saturday at 10:15. Presented by Star Physical Therapy. Part of Forklift Systems Football Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. News and analysis from Rocky Top. This is Big Horn Sunday, presented by Delta Dental.
Bill Justice with us this final segment. Bill, I wanted to just going to get in the show on what Tennessee needs to do, where you see them right now. But I know you usually listen to the show before you come on. I heard Barry Rice talking about the host of volunteers, the John Ward calls. I don't know anybody of any sport that I know at Tennessee that was any closer to John Ward than you were. You were part of some of those famous calls on that, but I'd like to see maybe the Tennessee do something from the basketball end from a
something like the host of volunteers on the football end of it. A lot of big memories and a lot of big games and situations that John Ward called while you were playing, and then certainly after that.
Well, what most fans may not know is he actually started it with basketball. He did that before he did football. You know, when you're a guy like him, and he's on the road on the bus with you, you're much closer with a 15 member basketball team and staff than you can be with 100 football players. And you know, I don't even know how they travel with that many people. But you know, we had our own plane. We were always there. He was always available to us. He was terrific in the way he made his calls. Everybody wanted that great call, and I got mine when I made the foul shots in triple overtime at Mississippi State to win the SEC championship. That's all you could ever ask for. So, yeah, great memories of him, and I don't think there's anything that Tennessee could do that would be too much in celebrating his great life.
Well, and you had the added advantage. You listened to him growing up.
Absolutely. I was one of the first people. He was solo. He did not have somebody on with him.
Yeah.
And the first year or two I was out of school and I was at home games, he honored me by sending some down and saying, "Hey, John, I want you to come up and be in a booth with him tonight."
You know, he was going to do that in football too, and they kind of I think the athletic department said, "Hey, we need somebody in there," and that's where Bill Anderson came in.
That's correct.
Came
that's
into
exactly
the thing.
Right.
So kind of interesting on that, but good memories on that really are. And by the way, host of volunteers, if you listen to the show lately, seven of them out now, podcast, great calls by John Ward, and then Barry Rice and Ben Bates talk to the people, the players, the coaches, and exactly what happened in that situation. They really are outstanding. A host of volunteers. Bill, got about a couple, 3 minutes left here. Okay, Arkansas, Tennessee probably as good as Arkansas, right, but playing on the road, and then Florida. Obviously would be nice to get a couple of wins here, but where does the improvement need to come to get when we get to tournament time?
Well, it's easy to say we've got to take care of the ball. Jordan Bowden, 3J, and Vescovi have got to make sure that they treasure the ball. One of the things I think that they might do is perhaps speed up the offense a little bit to avoid, trying to do something at the end of the shot clock. I would rather see Tennessee take a shot at 15 seconds and give up that, possession of the ball and not have to heave up a hope shot with 1 second left on there. I'm going to be real interested when we go to Arkansas this week to see what they do in the shoot around, because they, of course, there's not much of a defense there. It's mostly just play sets, and to see what they do in the shoot around, see what they say and see what they're coaching to try to get them out of this way where they're having so many turnovers. This has just got to be something that's got to stop.
Let's just hit a couple of the guys here, younger guys that are now getting quite a bit of playing time. Jalen Johnson, the 16.5 minutes. Devontae Gaines, almost 20 minutes yesterday. What are you seeing from some of these young guys, the potential there?
I think there's a lot of potential. I like the way they've been playing, and they have been getting more minutes, and it's because they've earned those. Obviously, the one that I would like to see player development, if not this year, certainly going forward, would be Euros Plavsic. I would love to have that big 7-foot center in there to make people think about going inside and trying to shoot over his arm straight up. He may never be a great offensive player, although if he can just learn to go over either shoulder like Fulkerson does, he can be a good inside force. So Tennessee's got some young players. They only lose one player this year. Bowden's the only senior they have. They've got some great recruits coming in that can blend in and develop along with it. So Tennessee fans should be encouraged in the future. But right now, these next few games are very tough for Tennessee.
Bill, thank you so much. Talk to you next Sunday, and certainly talk to you next Saturday.
We will, and I'll be in touch with you before then.
Bill Justice on Billy the Legend with us each and every week talking ball basketball. Well, that does it for another show. Thanks to Jimmy Harper for producing this thing. Also, Barry Rice, great having him on. A host of volunteers. Hey, podcast, if you missed any of it, CoachDougMatthews.com. Thanks for being part of the show today, and we'll see you next Sunday, 8 o'clock, for Big Orange Sunday. 104.